You have to chase Jesus and the person of Christ and not simply the scripture. Well, Craig, it sounds like you're saying they're not important. No, they are overwhelmingly important. Here's the problem. What everybody wants to do is they want to dissect them of their own will, of their own judgment, of their own feelings, inside their own emotions, with their own understanding. Listen, listen, listen. A natural man cannot understand the things of the Spirit. They are foolishness to him, for he is not spiritually appraised. You cannot understand this book without the author. And you should not try to read it without him. He is ultimate, and that is imperative. It's why our covenant says we believe the scriptures are sufficient and not exhaustive. What that means is you can't turn in the Bible and say, well, how many times do I need to spank my child before I move on to the next form of punishment? Let's look that up. What book is that in? Okay, well, how many times do I put him in timeout versus put her in timeout? Is there a higher number for guys or girls? Let's look in the scripture. Is that in there? It's not in there. If the scriptures were exhaustive, all of our questions could be answered by flipping to a page and reading a verse. But they cannot. Apart from Jesus, they are not. But by the Holy Spirit, everything that you need is there. You just need to mix the Holy Spirit in, and you will be able to use the scriptures and use the person of God and use what God says in the Old Testament, history, in the New Testament, gospels, and in the letters to the church to figure out what is right, what by His Spirit. I am sending you a counselor. We Baptists got to learn not to be afraid of the Holy Spirit, but to embrace Him. Okay? Don't call him the ghost if you're afraid of ghosts. You can call him the Holy Ghost if you want to. All right? Holy Spirit, holy being, Jesus' third brother. I don't know. Call him whatever you want. All right? He's there. We need him. And here is, he gives life to the scriptures. The verses I'm about to read to you have life because of the Spirit of God, because of the Son of God, because of Jesus. And that is important. Lots of churches chase the Bible, and they believe that they're doing well. Listen, they are doing fine, but they are not getting the whole. They must chase Jesus. And I'm telling you, the scriptures are important, but Jesus himself must be the most important. If you translate a scripture in your mind and it says something opposite of the person of Jesus, it is wrong. It cannot be. Understand? All right. Let's turn to the Psalms. The Word on the Word. Here we go. There are going to be several of these. Let them fall on you. Let them be alive in you. The Word of God is living and active and sharper than a two-edged sword and is profitable for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Shut me down and let the Word of God fall on you in worship this morning. Here we go. The law of the Lord is what? Perfect. Say it, church. The law of the Lord is?
Perfect.
And what does it do? It
refreshes
the soul. Have you ever been thirsty, church? You ever been parched? Mowing the yard, all right, doing something and it's hot out there, like your yard last week went from green to yellow, all right? It did, all right? We didn't even have to mow because parched. Have you ever been parched? Well, when your soul is parched, guess what? The Word of God can fill it up. The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy. You can trust the Bible, and it will make wise the simple. Can I get an amen for making wise the simple? Come on. Any simpletons in here? Yeah, this guy. All right. You guys are like, and he's in charge? Good luck. All right. The precepts of the Lord are right. Listen to me. The precepts of the Lord are right. The Bible is correct. Well, we can't explain this. We weren't meant to. It's still right. Well, science is proving it wrong. No, they're not. They're twisting things to make it sound wrong because they don't want to believe what? That it is right. Because if it is right, they have to change. And they don't want to change. The Word of God is, interestingly, ever-changing and never-changing. Let me tell you what I mean by that before everybody gets upset. It is never changing because it is a solid and firm foundation. It is ever changing because it is universally applicable to the black and to the white, to the young and to the old, to the 1950s and to the 2080s. It hasn't even gotten there yet. It will be applicable then. It was applicable back then. It will be applicable forever. Why? Because God is yesterday, today, and forever. And His Word is alive as He is alive. They are always right. The commands of the Lord are radiant. Listen, giving light to the eyes. I want to talk about that for a minute. I was with someone the other day and we were talking about psychological issues. We were talking about the eyes being the gateway to the soul and how there was a news picture that was thrown up and somebody just said it just looked like there was nothing there. And that brought back an unimaginable picture in my mind. And I don't know how many of you remember this, but several years ago there was a shooting in a theater, okay, out west. Was it Denver? Yeah. Denver. There was a shooting at a theater in Denver. I will never forget the first time they put the photograph of the guy that did that shooting up on the television, and I will never forget the look in his eyes. It was gone. It was mysterious. It was draining. It was soul sucking. It was dead. There was nothing in his eyes. And if you will look at the pictures that are thrown up on most of these folks who have done one of these disastrous killings, the Sandy Hook. Nothing. Okay? Listen to me. This is what this means. The opposite of dead, the opposite of nothing, the opposite of hopelessness, the opposite of shame and grief is radiance. And what gives radiance to the eyes? The Word of the Lord gives light to the eyes because it is radiant. Fear of the Lord is pure. A lot of people have trouble with this. Fear of the Lord is pure. Craig, if God is so good and God is so loving, then why does the Bible say that fear of the Lord is pure? Why does it say that fear of the Lord is wisdom? Listen to me. Because what you really want that you don't understand fully, which I'm going to help you with next month, what you really want is a grace and merciful God. That's what you want. What you don't understand is you also want a just and righteous God. Well, that sounds all good, Craig. I want a just and righteous God. Yes, until it's time for Him to be just and righteous to you. Well, I did this, but right now I want God's mercy instead of God's grace. My boyfriend and I did this, and what I really need right now is God's mercy and not His justice, all right? But He is just. Well, I drank this and I got behind the wheel of a car, but between here and home, what I want is God's mercy. But God is what? Just and righteous. And a just God avenges. A just God disciplines. Hell is real. You cannot have light and not have darkness. You cannot have love and not have hey, you wouldn't know the difference. Fear of the Lord means I did it, I accept it, and I understand that if God so chooses, He can make this finish however He wants. And understanding that He has that kind of power, that kind of control, that kind of love, but that kind of justice means you will fear the one who can make, the only one who can really make. The decision. Do you understand? This is what fear of the Lord and purity is all about. And it endures forever. The decrees of the Lord are firm, all right? Firm. Anybody go through a storm in the last 4 or 5 days? I know that there are some trees that aren't quite as firm as we hoped that they would be, right? They shut down roads. They shut down railways. They shut off power. God bless the Whitmores. 24 hours. That's what you get for living in Lexington. It shouldn't move down here. All right. Anybody else still without power? Or everybody else good? We were about 3 hours. All right, you still ain't got no power? Pray about it. Do the Catholic thing. I don't know. All right. All right. Listen. Listen. What you want when you make a call to buy into something or to believe in something is something that is really rooted. Something that when the storms blow, it's not going to waver. When the wind blows, it's not going to turn over. You don't want a duck boat. Anybody? You don't. Okay? Here's what the Bible's saying. Not only am I not a duck boat, not only am I not the Titanic, not only am I a more firm ship than that, I am an unsinkable ship. I am an unmovable ship. I am firm, and you can trust that. Plant your feet on this. I ain't moving. They are more precious than gold, more pure, sweeter than honey from a honeycomb, and by them your servant is warmed. In keeping them, there is great reward. Listen one more time. By them, all of the statutes of the Scripture, you are warned, okay? This is where a just God says, in so many words, I told you. That's what this verse is saying. When God comes down with His justice and you go, but I didn't know. That's like getting pulled over by a cop in a 25 going 80 and going, no. Ignorance is bliss. Yeah, right here. Your servant has been warned. If Jesus said, I told you so, this is the verse. But by keeping His commands, what? There is great reward. Okay, let me ask you a question. How many of you believe this? If you believe by keeping His commands, there is great reward, raise your hand. Some of you are like, is this going to be a trick? Because if I say it and you're going, how many of you believe that? I believe it because the Bible says it, all right? Okay, then why don't we follow it? I'm going to tell you. Because every one of you does genuinely believe that there will be great reward. Your problem is not that you don't believe that there will be great reward. Your problem is that you don't get the reward you want and you don't get it fast enough. It's not flat out disbelief. It is the difference in the driver's seat and the passenger seat. Any of you ever slammed on your passenger brake? How'd that go for you? My wife, both hands up. Listen, how'd that go for you? But you want to do that with God. I don't know if I could think of a better analogy than that. You're sitting in the passenger seat. You're saying that you trust Him, but you're slamming on the brake as if you think you're supposed to know when to stop and when to go. We want what we want, and we want it now. Jesus never promised now. Parents, let me give you the single greatest verse to identify this. Train a child...